When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Today, just a heads up, folks, there's not going to be a lot of strong language, but this is a subject that is very sensitive to a lot of people, so we're going to navigate it together. Maybe the best way to start is with a question. Who does the actual work, right? This is a question that comes up in pretty much any partnership, whether it's professional or romantic, corporate America, your personal life, everything from like grade school projects to decades-long marriages, inevitably run into this question at one point or another. Who does the actual stuff? And not infrequently in the world of business, companies would rather you not know who's doing the actual work powering the products and the services you buy. This tendency can be tragically familiar to all of us listening today in one way or another, but it's reached a new apex in the modern age. A dark sort of capitalist sorcery, one that is capable of cutting the all-important bottom line in exchange for very real long-term consequences. Today's episode, outsourcing. Here are the facts. Oh my God. Are we going to get outsourced after this?
I don't know how, like to other podcasters in India or something, or
somehow I already feel outsourced, but it's more an internal, it's an insourcing. I don't know how to explain it.
It's complex. It's layered. It's very onion-like, but let's start off by defining some terms. What exactly is outsourcing? In the context of business, it describes the process of hiring individuals or companies outside of your company to perform tasks or provide services or handle operations or managerial kind of, you know, organizational tasks that were previously done by employees within the company. So pretty simple, but turns out it's very, very complex in terms of those consequences you were talking about, Ben.
Yeah, and it's important to note that this isn't in and of itself a particular
particularly inherently sinister thing. You know, in some ways, it's very, very common. Like, consider your job, stuff like processing payroll or insurance claims. Tons of large companies outsource those tasks to a third party because they specialize in that field, right? We make widgets. We don't do workplace injuries. So let's have a company that specializes in workplace injuries take care of it because, one, they're better at it, and two, they're way less likely to mess it up and get us in even more trouble, right? This happens with small companies. Like, the five of us here at Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, if we didn't have a podcast, let's say we started a landscaping company instead, and we got kind of big. There are a lot of yards in Atlanta. We got multiple locations, various teams of crews and employees, and we're really good at maintaining yards and outdoor spaces. And for a while, we had like one accountant handling things. Let's be unfair to Paul and say he was our accountant, but we've grown so much that now it's too much work for one person. Even though Paul is the best accountant in town, he's one person. So we get together, we do the math, and we say, hey, we can not only take care of our accounting issue, but we can save money by paying an accounting firm to handle the whole kit and caboodle for us. This isn't going to make a difference to most of our employees. They'll still get the same checks every 2 weeks, maybe bonuses when times are good, because hopefully we're not an evil landscape company.
Well, this it's almost like you get like a bulk rate kind of, right? If you're retaining a firm that only hires accountants, rather than hiring a single accountant for your firm or a team, you are essentially benefiting from the fact that this other firm specializes in accounting and only has accountants on their payroll. So you're almost like getting a discount by virtue of the fact that they just have like dozens of accountants on staff rather than you having to pay the salary of one or two or three or four individual accountants to be on your team specifically.
Yeah, I'm thinking like I don't have a name for the landscaping company yet, but how about the CPA firm is called Discountant? No, it sounds like they lose money.
Well, the landscaping firm can be called Conspiriscapers.
There we go.
LLC. Yes.
Yeah, green light it. It's weird because, you know, we've looked into a lot of research on this, and we've seen a lot of, you know, bombastic statements by pundits in mainstream media and stuff. And there's a lot of good business to be made by excoriating the corporate fat cats of the world. They get a lot of heat, and honestly, in many cases, they deserve it. But in those explorations, people often don't point out that other folks practice outsourcing in our own lives on a microeconomic scale. You might hire your own CPA around tax season. You don't talk to that person every, you know, Tuesday or something, just probably right before April. And then you talk to them again next year. People pay, parents pay daycares or nannies all the time. And it's not because they're bad parents. It's not because they're worried about their family's profit margin. It's because they have to have jobs, you know, and they have to make sure their kids are in a safe place and have an opportunity to learn and have a socially enriched life. That's still kind of outsourcing, is it not?
No, it definitely is. And it's not like this is a new thing. Right before we recorded, we shared this video from 2009 from The Onion that was making fun of outsourcing tactics like we're talking about right now. And the point of the video was that even individual employees are outsourcing their entire jobs to other countries. And, you know, that's 2009. Go back a little further and then keep going back and then keep going back to the time when lace making was one of the primary things to be done, one of the tasks that needed to be done. It makes me think of the unions episodes that we just did.
The tactic is as old as beans. I don't know why I like that phrase. I don't know if it's a real phrase. Nobody quote us. But yeah, we talked about cottage industries, not a super creative name. Back in the day, shopkeepers would outsource this really work-intensive labor, time-intensive stuff like lace making, to people who were literally sitting around in their cottages. So outsourcing has existed for a very, very long time. It just didn't have the name. It's a portmanteau for outside resourcing, and it didn't really enter common usage until 1981. And then it became kind of a mainstream business practice around 1989, you could say, in the U.S.
Well, I mean, it's like you could say, you know, most manufacturing of the products and goods that we use are outsourced. I mean, there are American companies that we buy things from that outsource all of their manufacturing to countries like China because of the lower cost of labor and the, you know, more ready supply of materials and supply chain and all that stuff. So what used to be called a cottage industry, referring to like outsourcing a labor intensive service, is now kind of more of a stand in for like a niche kind of bespoke handmade type industry or, you know, creator manufacturer. Like if something's a cottage industry, that means it's probably made by a small team by hand in the country where the company is located.
Yeah. You know, like local peanut brittle makers, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's important to note there that outsourcing doesn't just mean, you know, sending labor off to another country. It could be something that's just sending labor outside of your organization, right? So hiring someone to do something, even if they're in your same state or in the office building next to you, that's still outsourcing.
Yeah. What we're talking about is interesting. There's a Venn diagram here of two things that are closely related, but somewhat distinct. In modern terms, when most people are talking about outsourcing, they're talking about a specific genre called offshoring. That's where you move some kind of business function to a different country. And that's where corporations make a lot of money. Some outsourcing includes offshoring, but not all. Outsourcing can be entirely domestic. It can be macro and micro. And there are a lot of advantages. If you're a business owner, obviously, this makes sense. You can potentially save a ton of money and a ton of headaches as long as you get away with it. I mean, first, you don't have to pay for all the expenses of in-house labor. Things like insurance benefits, vacation time, maybe a 401k, stuff that full-time in-house employees theoretically would expect or would strive for. And then second, you can employ fewer people. No need for that pesky IT department. We have a company that just leases and services all our computers. We signed a 4-year deal. If something goes wrong with the printer, just call those guys. I think his name is Chuck. It's not always Chuck, but it's usually Chuck. Like, that's very common, you know? Anybody who has an office printer might be familiar with that. And maybe most importantly, you save time. The only real currency of our age. You don't have to spend hours training an employee to do this thing. You don't have to pay a premium to bring someone else's expertise in-house. And maybe best of all, for really busy executives, you don't have to really learn something new yourself. You can just delegate it. But the big money is interested in some big loopholes. The stuff like going to a country with a different tax system that's maybe a little more friendly to you, a country that's not as, you know, hot and bothered about some aspects of workers' rights, or, you know, they say, hey, the environment can take care of itself. We don't need to regulate that. It becomes like when you start listing those benefits, it becomes increasingly like a made-for-TV infomercial. But wait, there's more, because there's always something else that would not fly in the United States that might fly in another country. And, you know, honestly, taxation's a big part.
And there are ridiculous, we're going to get into this, a ridiculous number of companies out there that will outsource your work. And it's a crazy competitive market. You can find article after article written by companies or representatives of companies that are extolling these things that Ben is describing, all of the made-for-TV commercials for outsourcing, for everything from legal stuff, like we were talking about, taxes, IT, even teaching, like educational jobs. It's crazy.
But there's like apps and stuff for this now. You know, we've done ads, I think, for ZipRecruiter, which would be, you know, considered, I guess, outsourcing hiring, right? Like your or like LegalZoom, which is what you were just describing, Matt, like outsourcing legal tasks. And those things are very functional and make a lot of sense if you are a small company. But when you start seeing larger companies doing this stuff at scale, you know, to use a douchey kind of business buzzword, that is when it starts being problematic, because I've seen things like, for example, outsourcing of graphic design, say, like for a big company, using some of these kind of like outsourcing graphic design sites and services that essentially go for the lowest bidder in other countries where, you know, wages are much, much lower in order to get a logo design or something like that, something that maybe could go to an independent freelance graphic designer or small, you know, independently owned graphic design firm in America. And again, I'm not saying that these other, you know, workers, these other freelancers in other countries shouldn't be getting work, but it's kind of for like a weird, slightly sketchy reason, you know, like at what point are you saving money at the detriment of your own country's economy?
Yeah, this, I'm glad you mentioned two things, guys. First, that 2009 Onion article, we'll get back to that in a second. Or we'll get back to that later in this episode. And then secondly, corporate buzz terms, because since I have an absolute iron grasp on priorities, I stayed up late last night doing research, and then I stopped and just wrote out fake buzzwords, because you hear so many, especially on the pro outsourcing side. You know, I was thinking about specific forms of outsourcing, how you make them sound more customer friendly, like trout sourcing, pout sourcing, you know what I mean? Route sourcing.
That's clout the Waze sourcing. App.
Yeah, clout sourcing was one of the first ones, because I had to talk with someone in LA today. But spoiler, not everyone loves outsourcing. Not everyone sees it in this kind of idealistic Thomas Friedman-esque way. And when we ask why they don't like it, we note that a lot of the critics dislike it for the same reasons a lot of business owners and shareholders love it. And these critics, by the way, are from all areas of the political spectrum, and they don't all agree about why they think outsourcing is bad. In their view, though, you could say that they would generally argue outsourcing is not just an at times ruthless move to increase revenue. It's a dangerous tactic with consequences far beyond quarterly profits. And in some cases, they argue it's a conspiracy. What do we mean when we say that? We'll tell you after a word from our sponsors.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Here's where it gets crazy. All right, as Van Morrison once said, cast your memory back there. But we're not going back to the Brown Eyed Girl song. We're going back to the 1990s, which was an uncomfortably long time ago now. And what would that be? 30 years ago.
Oh, it's, you know, the math that makes you really feel old or really feel the passage of time when you say, like, we're as far away from the 1990s as the 1990s was from the 1950s or something like
that.
Yeah. No, maybe not 50s, but 60s anyway.
60s, yeah. But there was something really weird happening. There was a sea change. And I think the ocean is a good parallel for what we're going to explore today. There was a sea change in the world of U.S. business, a massive migration of manufacturing jobs. You know, all those, like, those solid gigs that people once had in the trades or manufacturing, you know, you didn't have to go to college for 4 years. You could get out of high school or get out of military service, and then you could make a pretty good living doing what people would sometimes call blue collar work, right? And you could send your kids to college. You could maybe go to college if you wanted to, but why would you when you had a solid job just waiting for you? The thing was, these jobs were no longer solid. They were relocating to developing countries because of those lower wage standards, because of little to no safety standards, environmental regulations, all these other factors, each of which dramatically lowers production costs for these companies. And to be fair, you know, the people on the other side, the people in the countries that are practicing what we would call insourcing, I know these buzzwords, the insourcing employees were just regular people too. They are just regular people. And in some cases, in many cases, you could say this was good for those prospective employees. They weren't making as much as they would, you know, were they doing the same job in the U.S., which is pretty much the whole point for the corporations, but they would have a solid, hopefully sustainable job in theory, because sometimes these situations were disastrous. And when we talk about disaster, we got to talk about all these really disturbing short and long-term consequences. I think the first few are obvious, but it gets muddy really quickly.
So firstly, and I think most obviously, unless people working at the original location move with the job, accepting those lower wages and those standards, they're going to become unemployed and forced to find another, hopefully, comparable job somewhere else. So that's the obvious short-term consequence for the people that are directly involved. And this makes me think of, like, I don't know. We have labor standards in America. We have health and safety standards in America. But the companies don't really put their money where their mouth is. They're basically saying, like, wouldn't it be better if we were back at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution when, you know, we could just, like, have children working in coal mines and stuff? Wouldn't that be great? So how about instead of, like, paying, you know, American workers a fair wage under these safe situations, let's just go to countries that more resemble that situation. That'd be cool. So it really isn't about people at all. Nobody really cares about people getting injured or being in unsafe situations or being exploited. They're just, it's another loophole they have to figure out a way to deal with.
I would say they think about people. It's just tier 7 on the list of priorities.
Right. Well, people, they think of people as capital. They think of people as, like, a means to an end, but not as, like, identities with families, you know, and mortgages. That's just not part of the equation. And you could argue that's by design. Why should it be part of the equation?
I picture the corporate boardroom and they're wrapping up the end of the meeting. They've gone through the 6 big benefits, right, about relocating their business to a developing country. And then number 7, as people are, like, shuffling their papers and, you know, checking their phones, number 7 is also some of these new employees are probably not going to die. And then someone goes, oh, that's nice. All right. Hey, anybody want to get Chipotle?
There's an app for that.
I want to give you guys a quick quote from an article titled Five Indicators That You Need to Outsource, written by Derek Gallimore, who is apparently a Forbes Council's member. He says, this is a quote from an article he has written that says, you know, this is why you need to outsource as a company. It says, quote, your employees are still humans. They have a tendency to get overworked on certain projects. A 2019 Asana study, or Asana study, stated that more than 80% of workers feel burned out at work, which could pose a problem for your company.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's let them get to just the edge of burning out, and then that extra 10% push over the cliff, we'll outsource that bit.
See, yeah. Which was the original definition of edgy. Yeah.
No doubt. I gotta say one tiny little quote. Yeah. And it's just like, it always, when we're talking about corporations and the way they view people, I always think of this incredible Mr. Show sketch where there's a CEO in a board.
Yes. Because
we've been in the people business since you were in short pants. My grandfather started this company with one rickety slave ship and a motto. People selling people to people.
That is, I kid you not, my favorite line in the entire.
It's incredible.
Of Mr. Show.
I quote it all the time. It's so appropriate. And that guy is actually in the new season of Better Call Saul. He's the fake judge. I forget the actor's name, but I love all seeing all the Mr. Show folks pop up in Saul here.
True story. Many years ago, I emailed HBO to ask who specifically wrote that sketch. Because I wanted to find out. I didn't hear back, but HBO is a big company. We'll talk about media companies in another episode. Here's the thing, though. So we know the obvious stuff, right? This can be a really terrible situation for the employees who don't have the wherewithal or the opportunity to move to this factory that's relocating or whatever. But outsourcing doesn't just affect one company in an industry. It is contagious. It creates what I would describe as a feedback loop. So let's say there's a hypothetical company that makes, looking at my notes here, Farfugloogers. In parentheses, I put whatever. Okay, sorry. I was clearly just making that up. So whatever you think of when you think Farfugloger, I hope that's a made-up word. Anyway, they outsource. They lower their prices. They're still upping their profits at the same time. All the executives are getting bonuses. Shareholders are getting dividends. And let's say these executives aren't entirely crooked. So they take part of their profits and they reinvest it in the business, getting more infrastructure, research into new, improved Farfugloger 2.0s or whatever. All the other companies in the Farfugloger industry notice this, and they need to stay competitive. So it won't take too long for company B to start outsourcing, and then other companies do it, and it creates a feedback loop. It's normalized. It's the thing you have to do to stay alive in the cutthroat industry of the Farfuglugers.
It's a direct callback to our CEO pay episode, where it was just a trend that began and it continued increasing and everybody had to join in or fall behind.
Yeah. And then that's where we see the rise of a few manufacturers who go a different route, and they'll say, you know, the fact that we have an outsourced insert product here is a selling point for us. So we're going to make sure that all our Farfuglugers are stamped made in the USA, and we'll appeal to people's patriotism. So,
you know what? Another example of outsourcing in media is animation. That's been happening for
a
long time. Like, you know, the Simpsons animating team that's actually based in America will draw the keyframes and then they'll ship it out to Korea to have it, you know, fully animated for much less money. I would argue that's maybe a slightly less gross version of it because they're really good at animating in Korea, you know, and in Japan. It's like, it's just a thing. But also it gets the job done quicker and they're able to, you know, hire paid, you know, writers and key animators in the US team instead of having to have a whole like stable of like, you know, kind of more workmanlike animators. So I don't know. Do you think is that better or worse, or am I just like giving them a pass because I like cartoons? Like where do you think that falls?
I struggle
on the spectrum?
With that. myself, North Korean animation in particular is amazing. It's fantastic. There are a lot of really talented animators, but they're, you know, we have to understand the multiple perspectives at play, because the people who are getting these jobs are glad to be getting work, but you have to ask if they are being treated fairly. And in many cases, whether we're talking animation or Farfadet or semiconductors or iPhones, they're not being treated fairly. So, like, let's go back to the U.S., to our hapless former employee. They worked for Company A making Farfadet. Company A moved all their operations overseas. And they say, well, I'm great at making these things. I've done this job for years, decades, potentially. Any competitor in a normal environment would love to hire me. Problem is, because outsourcing is contagious in an industry, every single other company making this stuff has also outsourced production. So now, for this person, it doesn't matter how good they are at their job, because their job, in a very real way, no longer exists in their country. And like, yes, of course, our fictional product here, writing fake commercials. None of them are going to make it in. This is a made-up thing, but the process is real, and it has real consequences. The Economic Policy Institute found that American corporations alone outsourced more than 5 million jobs and 91,000 plants from 1998 to last year, 2021.
Well, I'm really thinking now back, given that, to the animator example that we got for The Simpsons. We talked about, I guess it was like lower level hires, animators who would be doing the busy work. It's not busy work, it's art, but it's creating the actual animations between the keyframes, right? In order for someone to become a keyframe animator, to me, it seems like you would need to have years of training being that lower level animator, just to understand the process, to understand how it all flows, and to gain those skills, right?
Well, that's like the old school journeyman or apprentice kind of programs,
yes,
that maybe are less a thing these days.
And so if you're outsourcing that position from your company, that lower level position where somebody needs to have that knowledge to be a higher level position, it feels like outsourcing it, you're going to lose your next batch of potential keyframe artists at your company, at least if you're growing from within.
That's a very astute observation. I think it's a pipeline issue.
And then the whole point here is Ben, what you've got in the outline. If you outsource like that, you're not just losing a particular job or a particular product. You are outsourcing the critical knowledge and skills and tools that you would need to further along whatever process it is that that you have going at your company, whatever product you are making.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And this is potentially very, very good for the insourcing industry. And this is part of where things get muddy. So this new manufacturing base starts to build its own supply chain. That's the ideal passage, right? Why would you continue importing lumber from the U.S. if your manufacturing base is now relocated to somewhere in the Pacific Rim? You're going to find a closer, more affordable source of timber. So this new supply chain begins to form. And then research on whatever you're making tends to move to that new country as well, because that's where things are happening, right? People want to be where the things are happening. And over time, this new manufacturing concern becomes its own thing from stem to stern, and it can spin off into a new entity for legal and tax purposes, and also to remove accountability on the part of the U.S.-based company. In this example, the shareholders still get their cut. The U.S. employees and all their support industries, they get cut out. And eventually, and some critics argue inevitably, that U.S.-based company ends up building something that later becomes its own competitor. So if you are, if you're very, very pro outsourcing and you think it's unfairly dumped on, just know that the consequences aren't just for people, the normal people on either side of the equation. These businesses build their own enemies sometimes, and quite by accident, quite by a myopic focus on the short term. And while we're doing that, just going to throw this in here. We can talk about it later in the episode. Outsourcing does also not infrequently lead to forced labor. That's right, fellow conspiracy realist, outsourcing does lead to slavery. But we're talking hypothetically, you know, landscaping companies, whatever a Farfugluger is. Let's look at some real world examples. This came to us from Michael Collins over at Industry Week, and he started to name some of the biggest U.S. companies that have outsourced.
He says the biggest outsourcers of American manufacturing jobs include General Electric, Caterpillar, Microsoft, Chevron, United Technologies, General Motors, Ford, Georgia Pacific, Harley-Davidson, Kimberly-Clark, Briggs & Stratton, Honeywell, Merck, IBM, Pfizer, and Boeing. Good gracious. That's like all of them.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Not certainly not all of them. But again, you know, it's like you pay a premium for things that are not outsourced. So even if they're not outsourcing, they're passing on that cost to you, the consumer, a lot of the time as well.
Mm-hmm. And Collins did something really interesting. He was able to trace declines in no less than 38 different manufacturing industries. He started in 2002 and he said, let's pick these 38 things and see, you know, how they're doing. And what he found was, first, there were things you would recognize, industries that are known to have outsourced extensively, like furniture, right? Cutlery, stuff like that. So he said, okay, that makes sense. They're outsourcing. But then he found these other industries that were indirectly affected by outsourcing, mainly things that are like mainly industries that are fundamental to making other products. So industries that help make things that people actually buy. We're talking machine tools, tool and die, forging, foundries, semiconductors. You know, like you're probably not going to go buy your own tool and die kit on a regular basis. It's not a normal thing in every American household, but
it's the factory industry,
right? Exactly. And Collins spent some time talking about semiconductors. He said that in his own state in Oregon, Intel is the largest corporate employer, and they said they might outsource their advanced chip production to their biggest competitor, a company called TSMC in Taiwan. U.S. chip producers account for half of the microchip designs in the world, but only 12% of the manufacturing. And that's because almost all of them have already outsourced their production. Collins closes by saying Intel is the only U.S.-based manufacturer of microprocessors. Also, semiconductors in Taiwan, it's playing a big role in Taiwan-Chinese-U.S. tension right now.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And he goes on to state something here. I'm going to read a bit of a quote. He states, in an open letter to President Biden, Bob Swan, the CEO of Intel, asked Biden to pursue a manufacturing strategy for the semiconductor industry, which, according to the Boston Consulting Group, needs $50 billion in investment to survive. Okay. So one might ask, he continues, how did we get to this point in the semiconductor industry where the industry needs a bailout? And how many more outsourced industries will need the same?
Mm. And again, it's a long tail consequence. So at this point, you might be saying, that's fine. I'm aware of the problem, guys. I'm aware of the dangers. I'm aware how complex this is. That's why I buy local. That's why I go to a farmer's market, you know? That's why I shop at local craft fairs. That's why if I buy something in a store, I make sure it says made in the USA. But what does that actually mean? We'll tell you after a word from our sponsor.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing
inventing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. It's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Okay, this might sound weird to people who have not lived in the U.S. or haven't spent much time here. When you go into a store, you're pretty likely to see at least a few products that have a stamp on them. Or it might be sewn into it if it's a shirt or something and says made in the USA. For people who are opponents of outsourcing or concerned about it, this makes you feel good. It's kind of warm and fuzzy. You know, I'm paying a little premium, sure, but I am somehow, however indirectly, supporting other people in the US and I'm supporting wage and labor standards.
Yeah. Bruce Springsteen would be proud.
Bruce Springsteen would be so stoked right now. I wish he was in this TJ Maxx with me. But that's unfortunately not always the case. There's a story behind those labels. And this is a story that made international news a number of years ago, but it doesn't get brought up too often now. It's the case of the Northern Marianas. So this involves political corruption. Part of it, it got a lot of press due to the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal. Just to let you know where we are in time. There were these recruiters who would go to different areas of China, the Philippines, and Bangladesh, and then they would lure guest workers by saying, hey, come, you know, we've got a job opportunity for you in the United States. We will take care of all the legal stuff, all the immigration stuff. Don't worry about it. And these folks would agree. It sounded like a good deal. It sounded like a good faith offer, which very much was not. They were not taken to the mainland United States. They were taken to the Northern Marianas. And there they were essentially forced into sweatshop labor. You can hear a great but short interview on NPR with some human rights activists and some former employees of this scam. But because of political corruption in the U.S. and in this island region, in many cases, these folks were working as little more than enslaved people, like barbed wire preventing you from leaving the factory, impossible to meet quotas. You're already kind of a wage slave because they charge you $5,000 to go.
And then you got to pay it back. You got to work. Essentially, it's indentured servitude because you're working to pay that back. And sometimes don't they confiscate your visa and passport and things like that?
Well, also, it gets worse than that. They also, for women working there, they would sometimes be forced into sex work. allegedly. That's what some of the survivors said, were forced to work in clubs at night. But since the Marianas, you see, became a U.S. Commonwealth in 1976, these companies stamped made in the USA on all their sweatshop / slave labor made products, clothing, and so on. And this loophole allowed them to get around import quotas and duties, you name it. Business was great. Human misery, however, on the island was at an all-time high.
This is a little different, but I heard a piece on NPR the other day from a guy who was a very top level guy at Adidas, and he was really sick of all the like fashion waste. Like there's a lot of like, you know, plastics
for throwaway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he wanted to start a company that like, you know, was trendy and fashionable, but used entirely plant-based materials. And he pointed out something that I thought was interesting and I didn't know, that is very similar to what you're talking about in terms of the claim made in the USA, the claim of 100% cotton. That is also largely BS. And it has to do more with legal designations for duties and import and export taxes than it does the actual reality of the garment. Because I think as long as like the base part of it is made of cotton, any of the little rings or the edges around the necks and the sleeves and all that stuff can be made of, you know, God knows what, rayon or like, you know, a polyester rather, that's like got the plastic stuff in it. Mm-hmm.
Your Honor, we by 100% cotton do not imply that the entirety of the garment in question is cotton. However, the cotton that is within this garment, we argue, is 100% cotton.
Mm-hmm. And 100% of it was, in fact, picked by slaves.
Oh, jeez.
You know, of wage slaves, at the very least. I'm sorry. Like, we're not that far removed.
I'm you know, telling when you, you.
When you
I'm
get into the you. Prison stuff and like all of this kind of stuff, it just makes you realize how toothless so many of these laws are and how easy it is for these giant corporations to circumvent all this stuff and just do whatever they want, just like it used to be. But it can't happen exactly on American soil. But they still sanction the same horrendous practices that have been, you know, happening for, you know, generations.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Made in the USA doesn't always mean what it appears to mean, and that, like the crooked laws, is very much a conspiracy, and it's very much by design.
Really quickly, I want to give one more example of a larger example like this before we jump to call centers, because I think that's one of the main things that at least I think about when I think about outsourced jobs and how I interact with jobs that I know for sure are being outsourced. There's a video from Vice News that was released in 2019. And it's titled America's Newest Outsourced Job, Public School Teachers. So just really quickly, guys, this is speaking of this weird relationship that you have with some third party company that is going to get you a job somewhere else, or, you know, from somewhere else, and then you having to pay that company for the privilege of getting that job. And then it can potentially become a situation where you're just having to pay that company back over and over and over again to work off whatever debt you have. There's a company called Trades and Professions Incorporated that does something really potentially helpful. They acquire J-1 visas, which are these specific visas that are meant to be given to educators to come over from another country to the United States to fill a teaching position that's vacant within the U.S. And this company, Trades and Professions Incorporated, specifically gets teachers to come over from the Philippines. And a teaching job in the Philippines, in one example they give in that video, is around $4,000 a year, at least a starting teaching position. And they're then offered a position in the United States for $54,000 a year. And the huge difference in there means that there's a high demand for teachers in the Philippines to come over to the U.S. and teach. But the thing is, in order to get that job, you have to pay Trades and Professions, I think it's around $12,000 U.S. just to get the visa and the job position, which means then if you're only making $4,000 a year and you've got all your expenses, you're paying that debt off for a long time. Until, I guess, the first money comes in, at least, from the teaching position in the U.S.
And they'll make a deal with you because they want you, right? So they'll let you go into debt. It's part of the game. Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned call centers, too, So these are multiple industries. I'm sure all of us listening today will have our own examples and maybe personal experience with these. But for many people who say, you know, I'm not really thinking about things on a global scale, I got my own stuff going on here, your experience with call centers might be your most direct experience with outsourcing, because products are not the only things outsourced. Skills, services, those are outsourced as well. Many, many people have called a company to find that their phone service has been outsourced to another country. And in a lot of tragic cases, those people calling also outsource their racism to the absolutely innocent people on the other end of the line. There was this study in 2017 that went across several call centers in India for 2 years, and they found that it was known and normalized and to a degree expected by these workers that they would be targeted with racial abuse from callers in the U.S. in particular. And that's another wrinkle in the corporate conspiracy of outsourcing, because some opponents of outsourcing cross the line from supporting the U.S. economy or worrying about long-term erosion of the country. And they start becoming pretty stridently racist in their rhetoric. And so they conjure up these completely untrue caricatures of these, you know, scheming villains on foreign shores out to ruin the country, instead of, you know, just being people like almost everyone else across the planet, people who just need a job, you know. And you have to remember, the villains, the people that you are actually mad at, are never the people who answer the phone when you call those companies. You know, there are a few companies that I'm totally on the record having no respect for, but I know that the folks at the call centers don't get consulted about these positions that these companies take. So just exercise some empathy, be nice to them. You know, they're doing their best just as you are. And they have been hired by the people you're actually mad at to be sort of a scrimmage line, a buffer between you and them. Don't forget that.
Now, that's if you even get a person, right? Because, I mean, how many menus do you have to navigate and, like, automated voice responses, you know, telling the computer what you actually are calling for before you finally just hit zero enough times that they give you a person? They don't want to give you a person. That's a premium. They want your problem to be solved by bots, you know, artificial intelligence to some degree. I mean, you could argue that it's not particularly intelligent artificial intelligence. A lot of these systems are pretty antiquated. But with the advent of like voice recognition and like, you know, being able to feed input into the phone and have it kind of understand generally what you want and give you some sort of solution, that's definitely somewhat next level, but still pretty clunky. But that's going to improve, because it's in the best interest of these companies to improve that technology, which means they're going to need fewer and fewer of those outsourced jobs, because outsourcing to robots and artificial intelligence and the computer systems and neural nets makes a whole lot more sense and is much more scalable and doesn't require any of that human capital.
Until you need installation.
Right, right. Well, there's something that I think we need to mention. I've mentioned this in previous episodes, and it always seems to need more visibility. There's another advantage to those voice systems, which is that it creates another revenue stream, a revenue stream in which you do not take a cut, but it uses your audio patterns, right? Those can be sold. Those can be monetized. So be very aware of that. That is why I have made the decision to do my utmost due diligence avoiding those voice recognition things. And it really, you know, it doesn't even matter for me. We, like, I host multiple podcasts. You know what I mean? My voice is out there. It's not, that ship has sailed for all three of us here.
Ben, I hate to break this to you, but you have an AI version of your voice now.
It exists.
Oh, yeah. Is it breaking
the recognition
news?
Stuff doesn't matter.
Right. No, right. No, that ship has sailed. But I also, I got to say, I don't feel as guilty being grumpy with an AI as you might with, you know, an outsourced human. So I make it a habit every time I do respond to one of these systems, I do it in the grumpiest voice possible and just sound completely, you know, and it's real. I'm not putting it on. I'm just kind of like, no. Yes.
I'll do an accent sometimes.
Can I get a person, please? For the love of God, I could be a person.
I'll see what slang I get. For there's a couple companies that require, quote unquote, require a verbal yes or something to end a call or pull an action. And I always try to see what I can get away with. Like, how much slang for yes does this algorithm or this software know? So, you know, affirmative or green light, buddy.
Mm-hmm. for real. No cap on God.
right. And, let's see. Oh, go nuts does not work for some reason. It's like, would you like to continue with this payment? Yeah, go nuts.
What about let's do it?
that would probably work.
Oh, I hate that one so much, man. Do you have any idea how my blood boils anytime I see somebody bragging about a thing on the internet followed by let's go, we're so cool, let's do the thing? I just hate it. I don't know why. It's just so douchey to me. I can't stand it.
For a long time, I probably mentioned this before, but for a long time, I didn't know what FTW meant. I thought it means for the win. I thought it meant, and beat me here, Paul, I thought it meant fuck the world. And so I would see these people saying these really happy, nice things like, oh, look who just got, you know, her PhD, woo, class of 2020, FTW. And I'm like, wow, that's... what is your degree in? And stuff like people would say like, all right, you know, it's little Hammy's first day of second grade or something, big things ahead, FTW. And I was like, do you hate your child?
What's Hammy, going on? Is Hammy here? Short for Hamfred or Hamson?
Hamish might be one.
Hamish should be good. I love the name Hamish. Yeah.
Yeah. So internet acronyms and, slang for yes aside, tell us your favorite ridiculous thing to say to an automated line. That's true. That's the future of what we consider outsourcing. The next wave of outsourcing is going to involve fewer and fewer people. Jobs won't be going to workers in other countries, as we said. They'll be going to automated systems. But Matt, you raised a great point. There are some industries that are much more difficult to outsource for any number of reasons. And one of those big reasons is the physical requirements of work. So I was thinking of a good example. I hope this makes sense. You can buy any number of pipes and fittings made almost anywhere on the planet, but you need a plumber to physically be there to install a plumbing system, for now at least.
Well, but you've got those like Boston Dynamic robots, you know, that are like approaching the ability to be like tech bots that could come in and install your modem and drill the holes and run the thing. It requires camera, you know, recognition and like things maybe aren't quite there yet. But do you really think that these companies that we're talking about are going to hesitate one iota once the technology is there? I mean, we already see the groundwork being laid for this, like in terms of like self-checkout kiosks at grocery stores and, you know, these jobs that are just eventually going to disappear. But what happened to those people? Where do they go? Like, what? Like, this is not a very thought out, like humane, big picture outlook. Eventually, it's just going to lead to like more homelessness. And then what's next? What dystopia follows? We just execute these people like who are unemployable.
I like to call this discrepancy the post-work economy versus the post-worker economy. So where, yes, there is a possibility for some sort of utopian Star Trek post-scarcity world where people don't have to have a job due to the grind of the strange ideology of capitalism. But between now and between that future era, there is another very dangerous era, which is going to be the post-worker economy, being a world in which humans still live, billions of them, and they still need the same basic things, yet they do not have the opportunity to earn those things, leading to stuff like neo-feudalism, the rise of a new global peasant class. That's why it's important to think, like going back to the ocean analogy, it's important to think of outsourcing as a wave, because it affects the destination countries as well. Let me break down the system real quick. So new opportunities, right? Your country's insourced some stuff. You live in China in the mid-1990s, right? There's a new factory opening up. You can get a new job. It's one of the highest paying jobs you've ever had. This creates a growing economy, which leads often to a growing middle class, which leads to pushes, collective pushes for more rights, higher wages, things like that, all of which leads that original company that outsourced in the first place to pick up their toys and go to a different country because now that other country is cheaper, which just starts the process over and over again. It's a feedback loop. It's a tidal system.
Yeah, there's only so much landmass on this planet to be able to do that for a limited amount of time.
Don't ever say that about capitalism. It's continued growth. Nobody think too far ahead.
Once the moon colonies are making all the Earth stuff,
we'll just continue to outsource.
Can I just add though, like that this robotic outsourcing isn't just limited to like entry level or low wage jobs. I mean, we jokingly mentioned the whole AI representation of our voices that we did as part of this pilot program to. You know, there's reasons to do it, to like geo-target advertisements and things so we don't actually have to do it every time or do a read for each one. But given advancement, further advancement of that kind of technology, could you replace any personality, whether it be a talking head on television using deepfake technology like that, I believe, was it North Korean or a Japanese politician?
We did a whole episode about this.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying like, there's a world where you don't, the idea like, oh no, we say, oh, we're safe because we have personalities, or, oh, artists are safe because an AI could never generate the same kind of, you know, inspirational material that like a human mind could. But given enough time, A, are people going to care? And B, will the technology be such that it's almost indistinguishable from the output of a quote unquote creative mind or an artist?
Right. Like a Turing test threshold. Yeah. I mean, again, I know the phrase artificial intelligence is far from perfect. You know, what we're aiming for is like a consciousness, whether regardless of its origins. But right now, those algorithms and that software, they are replacing very like, rarefied cognitive work, you know, from the edges of math to weapon design. In an earlier Strange News segment a while back, I believe we talked about some software that had already made improvements to some weaponry, I believe in China as well. So it's on the way. That's what you need to know. Like the car has already careened off the road. We're heading for the tree. You just have to decide what you're going to do when the car hits the tree. And the main thing to remember is, again, not everybody thinks this is bad. Proponents of free market ideology say that, yeah, this practice is imperfect, but ultimately it is a net benefit. Ultimately is a greater good for everybody involved. And while that's possible, it's also not always the case. And to pretend otherwise is willfully purposely misleading, often for short-term profits, by the way. So yeah, we have to remember, at least here in our little corner of the world in the US, outsourcing is only going to continue. And the people on either side of the equation, the non-shareholders, I mean, they're not the villains here. Not at all. They are the grass on the battlefield. And as the old saying goes, when elephants wage war, it's the grass that suffers. And in many cases, that's something those companies don't want you to know.
Ben, Noel, I figured out the real villain of this story.
Oh boy.
Is it Are we the baddies?
It's outsourcing. No, it's globalization. I don't think companies should have ever been able to grow as large as they have. I don't think you were supposed to be able to ship your goods from across the Pacific to then manufacture them in a different country, then ship those pieced together parts back to your country, then assemble them, then ship them back as finalized products across the Pacific to the country that put them together.
Not to mention all the added pollution that all of that transit adds to the equation, you know, shipping things back and forth and back and forth across the ocean. I mean, think about those consequences and long-term
issues. I think we're in the wrong timeline.
Yeah, what were you? Oh, is that one okay? To I was waiting that to, wasn't, to see. Yeah, what were you going to say? That the wrong timeline.
That wasn't supposed to happen. That was supposed to be something that we all collectively realized. Oh, that's wasteful. That doesn't make sense. Why would we do that? We don't have to have one company that sells all of the hamburgers to every country.
You don't like hamburger? Hamburgo?
Wow. I was just saying, hamburgers are great, but you could sell them, you know, a company that's on that side of the Pacific sells those hamburgers and they're awesome and they do a great job.
It's so probably a worse timeline though, too, you know, where it's like.
What I'm hearing, Matt, is that you hate fun.
Do you like parties? How about lemonade? Do you like chocolate and pie?
I'm being somewhat facetious, but it does feel like there's a root to the problem, and it's just that certain companies needed to continue growing in order to sustain themselves.
Right.
Like they had to continue growing.
It's the whole Ian Malcolm. We you know, knew that we could, but didn't stop to think if we should, you know, because we're not in the long-term consequences game here in America. It's not really a thing people do.
The species of humanity, yeah, fair. Is not completely super fair. Good at it. But yeah, no, I agree with you guys completely. I mean, you have to ask yourself how weird. I always like to think of it this way. When you're trying to figure out if something is a net good or positive, or, you know, when you're trying to suss out complex issues, it's really helpful to say, okay, 200, 500 years from now, if humans are around, some version will be, what will those future historians think? How will they describe what I'm talking about or what I'm thinking about? And in the case of future historians thinking of multinational corporations, private for-profit entities, they'll point out that it's pretty weird for something to exist that's so large and has so few actual responsibilities, right? Imagine being an entity so powerful that if you don't like the laws of one country, you can either go to one of the other countries you have a presence in, or you can just try hard enough and get those laws changed. Those are superpowers, and they may be too much for any one group of people, to be quite honest, unless those people are a government. And even then, with a government, it's like, case-by-case basis. We are so fun at parties.
Yeah, we like lemonade, though.
Yeah, lemonade is tasty, but lemonade's in general, great. Fun is for the birds.
You gotta put agave
in it. It's just nihilism and misery for me, please.
And science. Well, folks, now we are going to outsource the rest of our show to you. What do you think about outsourcing? Do you have the answer? Because we'll put it on air. Have you been personally affected by this tactic in a negative or a positive way? Because, again, not everyone is an opponent of it. Who should bear the responsibility? This is one of the most important questions to me, right? So a lot of companies use outsourcing as a way to purposely turn a blind eye to things like forced labor. And they can say, hey, we outsourced this. Our job is just to pay them X and they deliver Y on a quarterly basis, right? And we visited the factory once and everything seemed fine and dandy, right? But why, like, how legitimate is that argument? Who should bear the responsibility for those abuses? And should the U.S. take substantive steps to bring those domestic industries back from decline? Or is this all just kind of how the sausage gets made? Is this just a function of global progress? We don't know.
Sausage.
Yeah, let us know.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it's about lunchtime over here. So we're going to call it. But
guys, just really quickly, you got to go on Food Court with Richard Blaze, I don't know, years ago to talk about bacon versus sausage.
It's true. And
I just got to go on there yesterday and record an episode that I don't know when it's coming out, but I had so much fun. And we basically talked about you guys the whole time.
Oh, man.
Are you going to keep us in the dark as to what you were defending? Or yeah, I guess you better. since
I can't say.
Yeah. Okay, all right. I like that. I like it.
By the laws of food court. Yes, I'm familiar. Oh,
these are serious laws. But Rich, yeah, what a fun show, and yeah, what a cool guy with excellent hair.
He's such a nice person too. He's fun to hang out with. But yeah, you can check out Food Court. I can't wait to hear your episode, Matt. I'm going to bug you about this off air. See if we get a lot, get around those pesky food court laws, right? Well, we're just talking behind the curtain. But in the meantime, if you're online, if you have answers to these questions or questions of your own, we'd love to hear from you. We try to be easy to find on the internet.
That's right. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Twitter at the handle Conspiracy Stuff. On Instagram, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show. But you can also, you know, throw the social media to the winds and find us elsewhere. We have a telephone number where you can reach us.
Yes, our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. Give it a call. Tell me about your character on Diablo Immortal, because that just came out and you know I'm playing it.
Or tell me, because right. I get in the voicemail too.
After your like fifth fully leveled up Elden Ring character, you need something else to occupy your time, I suppose.
Absolutely. Yes. Call. It's not just me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to imply it's just me. I just want to personally hear about your Diablo Immortal character.
Well, you run point
character.
On it. You run point. That's what we want to establish. That be aware there's a non-zero chance that Matt Frederick may call you back. The Abyss can call back. You're not an Abyss. I just love that Nietzsche quote. But yeah.
Kind of am.
We listen to the voicemails. Really kind of am. We check on the socials. We've got some exciting stuff coming out, some of which we can tell you about. And we read every email we get. If there is something you want to tell us that needs a deeper dive, then a post on, you know, the Instagrams of the world, or something that needs some links, some photographs, etc. We can't wait to hear it. Take us to the edge of the rabbit hole and we'll do our best to find where it ends. We read every single email we get. All you have to do is shoot us a line where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com. Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.